Okay, we're on page 827. The pasuk in the Radak, in the holy words of the Radak says, "Va'achad I will bring an end. Eshloishes choroim biyerechachad, I'll bring an end to the three shevus in 1 month." So, as we all know, we had many perushim as to what this means, and now the Radak is giving us another perush, and he says, "Leshloishes gedulos elu." Wait a minute, we didn't do this. I'm getting all mixed up now. I apologize to you. I'm a bit confused. No, we have to go back a little bit more.
Yeah?
No. Wait. I'm sorry. Maybe. I'm a little bit confused here. The Radak began to tell us the parish of his father. Okay, we have to go back a page. I'm sorry. Let's go back one page. Let's go back to page 825 and let's review from the parish of his father. We were in the middle and we stopped suddenly in the middle because it got very late. So let's start from parish Adoni Avis in the bottom, the right side in the bottom. Okay, so the Radak gave us his interpretation of this whole. Now he's reviewing the entire sequence of Psukim and he's going to give us the parish according to his father. Parish Adoni Avizal. My father explained this as follows. Kinam Rasha Misbrach Achilosi Liroisa. V'lokachti li shnei makleis b'chidim l'roisa noyim v'choyvlim. Noyim koin gadol v'choyvlim melech. Okay, a division of labor, what's the expression of powers? What's the expression of government? There are different powers.
Separation of powers.
Separation of powers in Klal Yisrael, we discussed yesterday amongst Klal Yisrael, amongst in the Torah there is the Kohuna. And Malchus and Chazal add another level. They add the Av Bezdin, and it says Al Koy Nemar. It says Kisif Sechon Yishmudas the Amru, and it says Vedas Lanavshcha Yinam. So then we know the term. He just cites a pasuk in Mishlei to prove to us that the word Noyam is a code word for Kohuna. The Choyvlim Melech, and the word Choyvlim is a code word for Malchus. Bavur Shukmer Harav Achav Baniel, like we discussed yesterday, because they are a Melech. What's the word Choyvlim? It doesn't mean a destroyer, it means a rope. And the nation is like a ship, and you are a captain. The captain of the ship is the one who gives instructions as to when to pull the ropes, to move the sails in different directions in order to guide the ship, to allow the ship to go and travel different ways. The Eila Hatzain, the Avvi Sharis, the Eila Hatzain, these are the sheep. Avvi Sharisi, Ani B'Shnei Eila HaMakalos. Hashem says, even though I guided them with these two Makalos, V'asi Roisi Malem Roi Machedim, and I removed from upon them their enemies, other shepherds, other influences. Who are the other influences? Vehei malchei ahu moitz loy chazur lemut of klal yishol, did not take the message, did not do the shuva. Veshalachti lechem shleish hanavim l'roisam b'mekoymi. And Hashem over here says that I send over here three shepherds. The three shepherds in the time of the bayis, the beginning of the bayis sheni was Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi. According to the Radak, this is amazing. It's Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi were the replacement of the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. Isn't that amazing? The Melech, the Radak is learning that during the time of the Bayis Rishon.
This is a second set of three.
What do you mean a second set? He's now learning
because
the Psukim. Right, this is father's parish. He's starting all over again.
Oh, okay.
The Radak now is beginning to review the entire parak from beginning to end with an entirely different interpretation, a whole new interpretation. No, I don't know. It's not good for me this type of stuff. Thank you. Okay, so he's now reviewing the entire sequence all over again, all over the Pesukim, and he's telling us that during the time of the Bayis Rishon, there was a Kohen Gadol, and there was a Melech. A Kohen Gadol and a Melech, and then when the Bayis was destroyed, Hashem said, now let's take a step back. He says that the Kohen Gadol and the Melech served as Hashem's representative. It was as if Hashem himself was leading Klal Yisrael when there was a Melech and a Kohen Gadol. And then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then when Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem gave us replacements. Who are the replacements? So it's interesting, he's calling Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi to be the replacements of himself. The replacements of the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. When there is a Melech and a Kohen Gadol, it's as if Hashem himself is resting amongst in our presence.
There was a Kohen Gadol during Rabbi Sheni.
There was a Kohen Gadol. Yehoshua. But I guess what it means is, two things. Number one, in the meantime, in the interim, in between the Churban, the Bayis Rishon, and the Bayis Sheni, there was no Kohen Gadol, okay, because there was no Beis HaMikdash. And number two, even when the Bayis Sheni was rebuilt, it did not achieve the same glory of the previous generation, of the Bayis Rishon. So although it's true, there was Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi, there was a Melech and a Kohen Gadol, Zerubbabel and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. Thank you very much, Mr. Cohen, for the delicious coffee. Thank you.
The kitchen
is open. Chabarayin. Chatoif echol. Ki hay alma ki vehilu damya. Mark, go to the kitchen quick. Quick, Mark. Chap. Before they close the kitchen. Mayor, where are you, Mayor? How come Mayor didn't come today?
Yeah, well, tomorrow I have an appointment, but today,
Chodesh. You have to make the way you're precious is when you're not there one day. It's Harini Esmarech. All right, let's go further.
How many people
do
you have there?
We have four people.
Amen. Rabbi Levine, the first 80 years of the second base. We had the same Kohen Gadol, no?
Yeah, for first 80 years? I don't know. Shimon HaTzadik?
Right.
He came later. I think he came later. I don't know. We had Yehoshua. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol.
I thought Yehoshua was just in the
Nevuah.
I didn't know he was a real person.
No, he was a real person. He started off the Kahuna, but you're right, surely thereafter, Shimon HaTzadik, surely
was
thereafter.
Was he the last, or he was the Shiore Knesset HaGdola?
No, the Shiore Knesset HaGdola was the Bayis Sheni. That was 420 years later.
Oh, so okay.
It was much later on. This was the beginning of the Bayis, this was the towards the very beginning of the Knesset HaGdola, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Or anything, let's go further. So here is the Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi with the replacement of the Melech and the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, and Hashem had rachmanis upon us that He protected us from all of the far influences. Okay, v'shlachti Zechariah Umalachi v'lo yichayilu lochem toichachtam, and the Musar did not make a difference. They did not take any Musar. He chadetim, I took them away. Kama shenem Omar, v'achid es shloishes horoyim b'yerech echad. Mizid nilmod ki b'yerech echad neisu, they died the same month. V'achadem lochoy sedivu nivishol. And after they died, that was the end of prophecy. We discussed this many, many times. Prophecy came to an end in the beginning of the Tuvah of the Bayis, Sheni. That's the story that ended in the Masechet Megillah, where the Anshei Kenes HaGadol, they saw that if there would be Yetzar for Avodah Zarah, then the Klal Yisrael will not survive. So they were mispalel to Hashem that Hashem should remove the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. And Hashem said, correct, Emes. A piska came down from Shemayim with the words Emes. Indeed, I will take away from you the tithe for Avodah Zarah. But there's a trade-off. Zeh l'uma zeh borei Elokim. If you're not going to have a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, you're not going to have the benefit of prophecy. Prophecy and Avodah Zarah, two sides, and the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, two sides of the same coin. The reward for the nisoyon, for overcoming the yetzahara to worship idols is a direct communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we do not have the nisoyon not to worship idols, we are not given the blessing of prophecy. No pain, no gain. That's an old concept.
It's not only that. I mean, the Nevi'im spent most of their time
warning not to worship idols.
So if there's no more
idols, then there's no purpose in the Nevi'im. So Michal is saying a very fascinating idea, is that what did the Nevi'im warn the Jewish people? Not to worship idols. So if there's no Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, they're out of a job. That's a very interesting idea. But if I may not disagree, but if I may just add that it's I don't think it's 100% accurate. I think the Nevi'im did a lot more than give Musar for.
They did.
They would find something else to argue about. There are certain people that like to complain.
But as far as Ha'ra'ah, then that was transitioned into Chacham.
Okay, right. That element was no longer needed. But you know, like, there are people that like to complain. So if you solve one problem, they'll have what to complain about. There'll always be what to complain about. So don't worry, the Nevi'im would have plenty of work before that. Anyway, let's go further.
Listen, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Shimon HaTzadik was at the time of this time that we're learning now.
Right, so when did he
at the beginning, Mishiori Anshiknes Agdola. He was from the, when we were talking about the Shloshim Tzadikim and things like that, according to Rosh Shimon HaTzadik was one of them. He was the end of the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah, which is in the second base of Mikdash, the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah already was at the very last legs. So it all, the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah arose towards the end of the first by, I mean, in the 70 years of Golos. That's what they did. That's when they were.
Okay.
With Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Shimon HaTzadik, Mordechai, and all those were part of the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah.
Okay. But exactly, when was the transition between Yehoshua and Shimon HaTzadik?
At that time, I mean, right at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. In other words, Ezra died at 34:48. So 34:28, Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. I mean, not Shimon HaTzadik, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol in 34:28 for a few years at the beginning.
Okay, a few years.
Second Bayis.
A few years.
And at that time, that's when, right after that, is when Shimon HaTzadik met Alexander the Great, not long into that.
40 years, right? 40 years in the Bayis Sheni. So, but Shimon HaTzadik...
34:28 began the Bayis Sheni.
But Shimon HaTzadik did not start out in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Shimon HaTzadik came in the middle.
He did.
But when did Yehoshua? But when did Yehoshua? Yehoshua had to be a Kohen Gadol.
But Shimon HaTzadik wasn't the Kohen Gadol.
No, but
he wasn't.
Maybe he was eventually, but Yehoshua was. He bridged the first and
right,
the second.
Right, right, right. So Yehoshua, it seems...
Then afterwards.
Right, it seems there was a transition in the early years. It seems that Yehoshua started out as the first Kohen Gadol of the Bayis Sheni, and shortly thereafter, it transitioned into Shimon HaTzadik as being the Kohen Gadol. Because we find 40 years into the Bayis Sheni, Shimon HaTzadik definitely was the Kohen Gadol, and he went to greet Alexander the Great.
Right, but we also, that was in 34:26.
But we also know that the first Kohen Gadol of the Bayis Sheni was Yehoshua. So it has to be that there was a transition during those 40 years between Yehoshua and Shimon HaTzadik. That appears to be there was this transition between the two during that era. All right, let's go further. We have here, I'm going to bring them, then 1-1, all three of them died. Hananiah, Mishael v'Azariah were a team, they all left this world the same month. Likewise, their nevuah began at the same time. They began at the same time, and then they died at the same time. Omar, kasher ichadati shlosh ayil haroyim, batiksa nafshi bohem v'gam nafshim bochalo. We did this yesterday in very great detail. The word bochalo means mo'asubi. The word bochala means that you detest me. Rabbi Seina Zalamu, Paga, Boichal, Vetzemel. There are three different stages in a fig. Paga, Boichal, Vetzemel. And according to the Radak's father, this refers to different stages of hope that a father has to marry off his daughter. When she's a Paga, easy. When she becomes 12 years and 6 months, he hates her. Or really, he hates himself. When you hate someone else, usually you hate yourself. Why did I not succeed in marrying her off until now? Tzemel, he gives up hope. Once already she has not been married all this time, she's never going to get married. Paga, boichal el menurim shabbats gudul v'av kotzpa. Uperush tzemel yotza maleya. She's already a mature woman. She begeres v'noyash avia. The father gives up hope. Milasia meirov shivta b'bayis. If she has not gotten married by now, the chances are not that great. Diminishing returns. So this pasuk, according to the Radak's father, refers to the time when it was near the Geula, they lost their kahuna. What does that mean exactly? I took the Maklias Noyam. Noyam, according to the Radak's father, means the kahuna, the Kohen Gadol, and Koroiv to the time of their exile, right before the Churban Bayis Rishon was when they lost the status of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, then we go further where Hashem says, Havu Sukhari, give me my wages, the 30 coins, give me my wages for being your shepherd. How does the father of the Radak understand these psukim? Shuvu b'shuva, do teshuva, v'shavu b'shuva, and they did teshuva. V'lohoysa teshuva sam shleima, ki im shloshim yoyim me'avelus, shesablu al Kohen Gadol, shemes zesh shloshim kosef. An entirely new interpretation according to Radak's father. When it says...
That it's his father that's saying this, or just that one?
The entire thing, because we did his interpretation. His interpretation was everything until now. Everything until now was the interpretation of the Radak himself. Now, on the bottom of the page, on 825, on the bottom is where he starts going through the psukim again from the very beginning, and this according to his father. And that's over here. So over here, he says over here, and this over here, that it says that I took my 30 coins. The 30 coins represent 30 days. They only did teshuva for 30 days. The 30 days of Avelus of the Kohen Gadol. Who was the Kohen Gadol that died? I don't know. Doesn't say who the Kohen Gadol was who died. But near the end of the Bayis Rishon, the Kohen Gadol died. The Nevi'im told them to do teshuva, and they did teshuva for how many days? For the duration of the Avelos of the Kohen Gadol, 30 days. It was just a token teshuvah. What happened? Hashlichila Yoitzer. Hashem says to Zechariah, take the 30 days of teshuvah and throw it to the Yoitzer. What does this mean? K'moy el ho'Yoitzer, k'moy shepirashnu el beis Hashem, el beis ha'Yoitzer, v'nyanoi, k'soiv nevuah zo v'simoy sa beis Hashem. So he says, very interesting interpretation, according to the Radak's father, I want you to record what has happened. No one said such a pshat. No one said such an interpretation. I want you to record the fact that I warned the Jewish people to do teshuvah. They did a token teshuvah, but not more than that. And they did the 30 days teshuvah. And I want you to record what has happened and put it away for safekeeping. V'yesh mefarshim el ha-yoytzer el ha-kohol, k'mo yoytzer goyvai. Some say the yoytzer refers to the assembly. So what does that mean? I don't know what it means, but it means that it should be recorded and preserved in the Bezdin, recorded amongst the people of Klal Yisrael. Eder ha-yukar asher yokarti me'alehem hadar Hakavoid shesilakti me'alehem, the splendor which I took away from them, bavur ki bebayis sheni lo sharsa shechina. Okay, it's very similar to the other interpretations. The Eder HaYukar refers to the splendor, which he seems to be saying refers to the shechina. The shechina is now going to be removed from the Jewish people, and it will now return. In the time of the Bayis Sheni, the shechina never came back with the same intensity that existed in the time of the Bayis Rishon. Asher Yokarti, Asher Monati. The word Yokarti means I withheld. Min Hoikar Raglecha. Here he has a new interpretation. We didn't come across this. Hoikar means to lighten your feet. It means to get out, to move. Hoikar Raglecha, to make your feet light. It means it's an expression telling a person that you should leave. Leave my presence. Leave my presence. When you tell them your feet should be light. If a person's feet are heavy, it means he ain't going nowhere. He's not moving. His feet are anchored to the ground.
What is monati in this case?
What?
Asher monati.
I withheld, which means...
That doesn't mean going, does it?
But where are you seeing the word monati? Where are you seeing that word?
Asher yokarti.
Right, yokarti, that's what it means. Asher yokarti means I have removed myself. Yokarti, according to the Radak, is telling us the word yokarti means to remove. I have removed myself from your presence. How does the word Yokarti Me'alehem refer to removal? So the Radak's father says a very interesting interpretation. It comes from an expression of making your feet light. There is an expression that is found in Amos. The words are the words are Choikar Raglecha. Choikar means make your feet light. The lightening of the feet. And this is an expression which means to leave, to you're in my presence and you're annoying. I don't want you to be here. So if your feet are light, that's a polite way of saying to the person that you should fly away.
Take off.
If your feet are heavy, they're anchored in the ground, they're not going anywhere. But if your feet are light, then you're going to go somewhere. So here you say the word over here, yokarti, comes from this expression, and it means I have removed myself from your presence. Just for some context, we learned last week many other interpretations of what this word means. Amongst them was, I will honor myself. I will honor myself by not associating with low lives. A dignified person, when a person, you make a wedding and you have a seating plan and you put all your guests, today people don't do seating plans anymore. Do you know this? A new phenomenon? There's so many new phenomenons in our generation which are just mind-boggling. And among the new phenomenon is people don't even bother making seating plans anymore. You come to a wedding, new thing now. I've seen this many times, even my chashu weddings. There is the chassan's family, the kala's family, the chassan's friends, the kala's friends, the friends of the parents of the chassan, the friends of the parents of the kala, and that's it. Don't bother me. I don't have to stay up the night before, making place cards for every yukel where they're going to sit. Let them figure it out. Okay? It's a new phenomenon today. It's unbelievable.
Avoids embarrassing errors.
I guess you don't want to make. I think it's just a matter. The real reason, I'll tell you the honest reason why this the new thing is, because people today, another new phenomenon, they don't reply to reply cards. They don't respond. People today have a new minute today. They don't respond. You send them a wedding invitation and they don't reply. They just don't reply. And either they come or they don't come. So how are you supposed to know if you should have make a setting for them at the wedding? So you can't go put down place cards for everyone, so you make an approximation of how many people will come.
A lot of by the chassidim, a lot of them, they don't send response cards. They just write on the bottom, response cards we don't send because we hope you will attend.
We hope, okay.
They made that, a lot of them, what they say.
But Litvax, so over
not
here.
Not by a Litvax, no, not by a Litvax.
But by the Litvax, normally you don't go put a Rosh Hashiva with some kindergarten children.
That's okay? Right.
You don't put a Rosh Hashiva, you don't have place cards, and you put the Rosh Hashiva with 3-year-olds. You don't do
by
that.
By all the above, they put down the table. The tables don't have numbers. They have names of towns in Europe.
Names?
That's what it says. The tables are Rupchitz, Ksangs, all those things. That's what the names on the table are.
All right, but what you do is you put down. You can't hear. It's not. It's the.
No, I'm saying when somebody's talking to you, I can hear everybody here.
What?
I said when somebody's talking to you, to me, I hear better here. Well, I'm sorry.
We're getting an echo.
No,
I'm sorry. Let's try to use the microphone.
Please.
Don't apologize. Let's try. Can you hear me better now? But you have to turn off the machine because we're getting feedback from you. Do you hear me better now? All right. We over here. Is the sound better? Okay. All right, let's continue. So here, you have the phone on in the back? Someone has the phone on.
Mute everybody.
No, everyone is muted. The problem is, Mr. Cohen, could you turn off the phone because I'm getting feedback from you. All right. Okay, let's continue. So we learned last week that Asher Yakarti means I honored myself. How did I honor myself? By not associating with you. The Eder Hayukar Asher Yakarti Me'alehem. I honored myself from upon you by removing myself from your presence. Hashem is saying that it's not an honor for me to associate with you. So according to what we learned last week, the word yikar means honor. Mm-hmm. And here the Radak seems to be saying something different than HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here, saying that he distanced himself from us. Next, for Egdas Machli Hasheni Yisachem, and I cut down the second machel called Chayvlim, Hu HaMelech, the second machel I cut down is Chayvlim, that's the king, V'hu Hoya Agrippas, Ki B'yamav Higla Titus. Agrippas HaMelech was the last Melech. We're discussing here, according to, let's clarify, we're discussing, I made a mistake. See, I told you about Shimon HaTzadik. No, that's not what he's saying. The Radak's father is learning this entire section in reference to the Bayis Sheni. I made a big mistake. The Bayis Sheni. And he's saying that in all of, it's very similar to the Bayis Rishon, the sequence of events, but the Melech who died, the Kohen Gadol was Rabbi Yossi Kohen Gadol. We say this in the Asara Harugei Malchus. Rabbi Yossi Kohen Gadol and the Nasi, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, they died shortly before the Churban Bayis Sheni. They were the first of the Asara Harugei Malchus, and they were killed before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And according to the Radak's understanding, the Pasuk here is teaching us, a fascinating insight, I never heard this before, that when the Kohen Gadol died, they mourned for him for 30 days. They mourned 30 days. Exactly, I remember there's an exact record of when he died, how many days before the Churban he died. It was like a few months. A few months before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they were both killed. And it says here they mourned for 30 days. And Hashem is telling the Navi Zechariah to record what will happen and put this away. They knew this would happen, it seems. And then it says the Melech, then he's referring back over here that I'm going to bring an end to the Makel of Chayvlim. Now he refers to Agrippas HaMelech. Agrippas HaMelech was during, shortly before the time of Titus, he says, and Ki B'yam of Higla Titus, and that in Higlam Titus HaRasha, he exiled Klal Yisrael. Ve'achacham, fun. That concludes, okay, so this parish, we just read it very quickly, but it gives at least a little bit insight. A few more ideas from the Radak's father as to how to understand these psukim. Now we're going to another idea. We're going to V'achocham Rabbi Avram Halevi Mi Toli Tula. Okay, anyone know where Toli Tula is? Toli Tula, what place this is? Okay, it's a town. Shechiber Sefer HaKabbalah, Perash, Parsha Zochein. He explains this entire section the following way. We're going again back to the beginning, we're going through a new pass, a new approach to understand this. Ze binyan bayis sheni v'zeh she'omar v'egach li shnei makles lechad karasi noyam u'le'echad karasi chayvlim noyam zu nisius zrubavel Nechemya and Nechemya ha'tir shasa shehem mibnei David v'lohem nosan Hashem malchus Yisrael beris melach chayvlim. Who are the Chayvlim? Zeh. This is Malchus HaKohanim. Gehem b'tchil b'nei b'beis HaMikdash echod b'har grizim v'nischatnu el hakusim u'mehem yatsu minus lo'olam. Ula v'soif hurkinis koin gadol shimesh b'chun g'doylo arboim shvarim shano hurkinis. Ula v'soif naaset tzedoiki v'yarges HaKohanim hu v'alexandres b'noi v'chein hoyedas aris. Okay, so saying over here is a very fascinating idea is that there were two branches in Klal Yisrael in the time of the Bayis Sheni. There was the tradition, the honest, the Prushim, and then there were the Tzedokim. There was a branch that was beginning to develop. It didn't happen overnight, and that refers to, that's called the Chayvim. So one more time. The first branch was the real deal. When the Bayis Rishon was rebuilt, Bayis Sheni was rebuilt, who was the acting Melech? Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel was aligned together with Nechemya. Okay, we have Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra came a little bit later, but Nehemiah and Ezra was a Kohen. Nehemiah was a descendant of Malchus David, and Nehemiah was together with Zerubbabel, and they were authentic. They deserved to lead Klal Yisrael. And they were given the Malchus Bris Melach, means that they were deserving. But then, unfortunately, right in the beginning of the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was already an element in Klal Yisrael that was beginning to develop that would lead to a great Chorban. And that was another branch in Klal Yisrael that was trying to take the power for themselves. And who were they? Choyvlim, Zeh. This refers to Malchus HaKohanim. Now, what does that mean, Malchus HaKohanim? Gihein Batchil Banu Beis HaMikdash, Echad Bahar Grizim. We know that the Tzoykim, they built their own Beis HaMikdash on Har Grizim. And V'nischatnu El HaKusim, they intermarried with the Kusim. Umehem Yatsa Minus La'olam. This is an incredible word. Where did Minus come into this world? I never knew this. You ever know this? He's telling us that Apikorsis, what the Gemara is obsessed with, a min. Min is, you know, okay, the Olam likes to say something which is not true. Mi Talmide Yeshu Hanotri. That's not really true. That's not something that's really accurate. Min is a philosophy that Torah is not min hashamayim. Minus. And we have it all over in the Gemara about this danger to Klal Yisrael from a sect from within called the Minim. And you know, the Minim is almost like a catchphrase for all different types of groups of Apikorsim. And the Radak over here is telling us that they came from the intermarriage between the Kusim and the Kohanim. There was a family of Kohanim who returned to rebuild the Bayis Sheni. And who was living in the land at this point in time? The Kusim. How did the Kusim get there? I just want to stop for 1 second. Michal, can you hear me well?
Yeah.
Is it okay now? Is it better now? With the microphone?
It's the same.
It's okay. So the Kusim.
Down the place.
Right there. Now the Kusim, he's saying an amazing thing. I never heard this before. And that the Kusim, the Minim, when Klal Yisrael was away for 70 years, who occupied the land? The Kusim. Who put the Kusim in Eretz Yisrael? Sancheriv. When Sancheriv exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, they replaced them with the Kusim. When they came back, the Kusim were living there, and they were a thorn in the eyes of Klal Yisrael to get rid of them. And when they came back, they lived there, and there were a group of Kohanim who obviously were enamored with the Kusim and intermarried with them. The product of this marriage produced children that became apikorsim, that became minim. And these minim infiltrated into Klal Yisrael throughout all of the years of the Bayis Sheni for 420 years and going forward into the era of the Talmud. Because the Talmud that was written over a 500 period of time continuously refers to the Minim, who were a very great thorn in the eyes of Klal Yisrael. Where did these Minim come from? So we always think, oh, they're just Jews. We look at Minim in the Gemara the same way we look at, today, let's say, Reform Jews and Conservative Jews. That's how we look at them. Oh, we have Reform Jews, Conservative Jews. They have an agenda. For some reason, they don't want to be religious. And they want to make their own version of Judaism, and they have a lot of money and influence and v'chulu, and they have temples and synagogues and you name it. So when we learn in the Gemara that they were Minim, I think most of us, certainly myself, we look at the Minim as the same thing today, like Reform and Conservative Judaism. They were troublemakers. Klal Yisrael always had troublemakers. But the Radak is saying it's much worse than that. The Minim are not necessarily Jewish. The Minim are half-Jewish. The Minim are products of intermarriage. Intermarriage, and I'll get a load of this, at the highest level. intermarriage of the Kohanim and the Kusiyim. It would be bad enough for there to be intermarriage amongst the regular Yisraelim, but here we're discussing intermarriage amongst the Kohanim and these Goyim. And these Goyim are complicated people. They're not just some Goyim. You know, some workers who are, you know, that a Goy wanted to marry, and a Jew wanted to marry. These are people who are living in the land for 70 years, were put here by Sanherif to take over Eretz Yisrael. They became the balabos of the land. And they had a whole incident where the lions went and the lions ate them up, and they asked the question, why is this happening to us? They were told, because you're violating the sanctity of the land, and they converted. And there was a very big question, was their conversion sincere or not? So you're dealing here with Goyim who converted out of people who, you know, they became the landlords of the land, and they converted. And then there was a question, was the conversion sincere? Ultimately, Chazal said their conversion was not sincere. Kusim Geri Arroyos. It was these people who intermarried with the greatest of the Jewish people, the Kohanim, produced children. They were all messed up. They were so messed up, they came very close to destroying Klal Yisrael. And if you want to say that the Minim are the roots of Christianity, this is what produced Christianity. Never heard this before. This is an incredible Chiddush. So you want to understand now, according to the Radak's father, you go tell this to someone. Tell me about the roots of Christianity. Rabbi Yishuv ben Prachya, right? Rabbi Yishuv ben Prachya, he went with his Rebbe, Yeshu, he went with his Rebbe, and you know, everyone knows the whole story.
It's, yeah, but that's not the Yeshu that we know, because he lived way before.
Yishuv
ben Prachya lived at the time of Hanukkah.
But he needs followers. Who were his followers?
Yeah, but still in all, this was long before our...
it was a long Yoshka process.
We know that's why the problem is, if it's a different Yoshka.
This for sure.
You lived 200 years before Yeshua.
There are for sure two Yoshka. That we all know. There's for sure two. Yes.
But, that's what I mean. Yoshua ben Prachya couldn't be in this story.
Right, of course. Not the Yoshka that they're referring to. The Yoshka they're referring to, we're counting of 2021. According to the Goyim, 2021 means that the Yoshka was born to 2021 years ago, according to their version, which even they admit is not accurate. But and Yishuv ben Prachya lived about 200-300 years before that. But it was definitely a process. And according to the Radak is telling us that this process truly began even before Rebbe Yishuv ben Prachya. The environment was ripe for such a thing to happen, because in Klal Yisrael there were Minim. When did the Minim begin? He's telling us an incredible historical insight. The Minim, the environment that allowed there to be the story of Yeshu HaNotzri in the time of Yishuv ben Prachya, that environment began during the Churban Bayis Rishon, when the Kusim occupied the land, and then Klal Yisrael returned, and they met the Kusim who were occupying the land, and they intermarried, the Kohanim intermarried with them, produced children that were all messed up, who were calling Minim, and those Minim somehow had an effect on the moral climate of Klal Yisrael, which allowed such an event to happen where Yeshu HaNotzri emerged after the story of Rabbi Yishuv ben Prachya, and then going fast forward another 200 years where there was another Yeshu HaNotzri, and things developed even more. But where did it all begin? Where did the roots of the moral climate of society allow such a thing to happen? According to the Radak, he's telling us it all comes from the intermarriage of the Kohanim and the Kusim. It's a very complex process. Just because you have one Meshugana that does something bizarre, why would he get a following? There are a dime a dozen of crazy people out there. They don't have followers. They do whatever they want to go do. They scream, they make a lot of noise, and they fizzle out. And eventually they come and go. In order to make a movement, you need followers. You need there to be a moral climate in society where people want to do this. And one person has to just break the glass to lead the way. Like these riots. Okay, so you have people, they gather. Not all of them have the chutzpah to be the first one to go into the store and to loot the store. It comes along, you have people that gather, and when the first guy has the chutzpah to go smash the window and go inside and take out a television, and everyone sees nothing happens to him, then they all go do it. They all go. Now, if there's no riot, one guy goes in and smashes the window and comes out. Okay, so there was a robbery. So they look at the security camera and they go and they'll find him, they'll arrest him. But when you have over here 1,000 people doing this, not so easy to go arrest 1,000 people. Okay? And so you have to have a situation where there are 1,000 people that are willing to follow in the ways of one person. Where did that come into existence? This is incredible stuff. Where do you hear such stuff like this? The Radak's father, Radak.
By the way, this
Rav
Avraham Halevi,
yes,
who wrote something called Sefer HaKabbalah, is from Toledo, not Ohio, the original one in Spain.
Toledo. So he does. He first was a little bit of, okay. He has like a little bit more of an elaboration, but okay, good. Excellent. Okay, let's go further. Let's move further. I'm getting some feedback over here. One second. It was battery powered, so you know what? Give me one second. Let me just put the microphone somewhere else because I'm getting feedback. Okay. All right, let's go further. I didn't need a battery, that's why. Battery's gone. All right, it's not going to work. I've just raised my voice today. All right, we're going to install, if Machof, you notice, I'm putting back the microphone, the one we have from over there. Our old microphone. It's taking me a day or two to set it up. All right, let's go further. Let's finish up. Okay, over here it says, over here, vayome, one moment, I'm all mixed up. Page 827. Okay, 827 on the top. In the Radak, on 8:27, came at Chilu Babanu Beis Hamikdash. Echa Bahar Grisim Vineschatnu Elachayhanim Umeimahem Yotzu Minus Liolam. V'la Besoif Horkines Koin Gadol Shimesh V'chunu Gedoyla Barim Shan for 40 years. Eventually, they seize the Malchus. Later on, V'la Besoif Naset Sedoiki Vayarges Akayhanim Huvi Alexandros Beno V'chein Hoyedas Aristobulus Ben Binoy Noite. Okay, so this over here, this is a whole long history over here. They're saying the roots of this, the roots of the corrupt Malchus in Klal Yisrael in the time of the Bayis Sheni is rooted in intermarriage between the Kohanim and the Kusiyim. So, and who's responsible for this? Sancheriv. Sancheriv really won. That's the way this world goes. You talk about who won the battle. Sancheriv surrounded Yerushalayim on the night of Pesach. And what happened to Sancheriv? So we read in the Haggadah, we read in the Piyutim, he came with, according to the Pesukim, over 800,000 soldiers. And he surrounded Yerushalayim Leil Pesach. And he was about to attack the following morning. Miraculously, every single one of his soldiers died. And the only one that was left alive was himself and maybe a handful. So we celebrate, look at that, Hashem went and brought in, he was defeated. Was he really defeated? You know what the real answer is? He really won Sancheriv. Because before Sancheriv went and he tried to destroy Yerushalayim, he succeeded in exiling the Aseres HaShvatim. So they're gone. And as far as the survivors, what did he do? He imported the Kusim to live in the land. And what happened because the Kusim lived in the land? When they returned during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Kohanim intermarried with the Kusiyim and produced the Minim, which is the forerunner of the Notzrim, which The Notrim, how much blood have they spilled? How much Jewish blood have they spilled? So if you want to know who really won the battle, Rachman al-Itzlan, it seems to me that Sancheriv, he had a pretty big victory in the amount of damage that we suffer ad hayoyim hazeh from Sancheriv. Talk about Alexander the Great. So what happened with him? He came to Shimon HaTzadik, and Shimon HaTzadik says, don't, and he gets off his horse, and he bows down, and he says to his men, we're not going to sack Yerushalayim. What did he really do? He destroyed Yerushalayim. But how we discussed this, he did two things. He demanded all of the children be named Alexander after him, and then started Minyan Hashtaros. The fact that people were named after Alexander the Great by his name, and the documents were calculated from the time of his Malchus, people began to respect him and respect his way of life. And that set into motion the roots of Hellenism, the roots of the Misyavnim. And that almost brought Klal Yisrael to its demise in the time of Hanukkah, if not for the miracle. So although at the time it seems in Jewish history that there was a great salvation for Klal Yisrael, yet, mitzad sheni, in a subtle way, these wicked people have done untold harm to Klal Yisrael. Okay, Sancheriv, look what he did. He's the cause, we're learning now in the Radak, he's the cause of the Minim. He's the Sherish of the Minim. He brought the Kusim into the land, whom intermarried with the Kohanim, which produced the Minim, which caused untold damage Ad Hayom Hazeh and Klal Yisrael. All right, let's go further. V'achid, I will bring an end. I will bring an end to the Shloisha Roim B'yerchi, Yachal L'Shloisha Gedulois Elu, who Roimeis, Nisios B'nei David Malchus B'nei Chashmonoi Malchus Avdeim, V'karu L'chol Yimei Bayis Sheini, the entire era of the Bayis Sheini, we're calling it Yerach Echot, according to this interpretation of the Radak, the three shepherds are who? The authority, three different branches of authority. The Malchus of David, the Malchus of the Beis Chashmonai, and then what followed afterwards, Umalchus Avdehem. Okay, so there were three different stages of leadership in Klal Yisrael in the era of the Bayis Sheni. It started out good. Zerubbabel with Nehemiah, they were the leaders of Klal Yisrael, and they led Klal Yisrael for approximately 200 years. And then began the era of the Hanukkah story, and the leaders became the family of the Kohanim. They were good. They did not have the yichus of David, but at least they were following in the ways of Hashem. And then after the Hanukkah era passed, that's when most of the trouble began with Hordas and his followers, Agrippas, and the whole story there and some of the other leaders. And they were not good. They are called here the servants of the Malchus of the Beis Chashmonai. So the three shepherds that we're referring to over here is spanning the entire era of the Bayis Sheni. The Malchus of David, the Malchus of the Chashmonoim, and the Malchus of the servants of the Chashmonoim, which was the tail end of the Bayis Sheni. And this entire era we're calling Yerach Echad. How long did this era last? For 420 years. And yet Hashem is saying that in my eyes it happened so quickly, it's considered to be like it's a short period of time. That's how we learn. I'll read the words one more time. These three great eras, or great series of leadership, which includes the Nesios of Bnei David, and number two, Malchus Beis Chashmonai, Umalchus Avdeim, V'choro L'chol Yimei Bayis Sheni Yerach Echad. We call the entire era of the Bayis Sheni 1 month. Why? Lefi shahayu be'enav kiyamim achadim. It was a very short period of time in the eyes of Hashem. V'zeu sha'amar v'u'ekach es makli es noyam v'yegda es oysa l'hof es brisi. Zo petiras zubavel. When it says I will take the makli called noyam, that's going to be the death of who? Zerubbabel. Unechemya. That was the first leadership. Ki nichris soha achva. V'hufra habris ha'shachaysa b'neim b'in malchi paras. When they died, there no longer was a bris between them and the leaders of the Persians, because they were good with the Persians. V'zeu shi'amar im toy b'yeneichem, v'zeu shamar lochem, g'shoye roye oysam b'maklo ha'sheni ha'chayvim, b'chi'ilu amar im toy b'yeneichem u'leches b'achay Hashem. All right, then when it says the next part of the passage, I'm just running through the Rosh HaParakim, which not going to go through every single detail, but then Hashem was telling them, even though you've lost the leadership of the Malchus of David, behave yourself during the era of the Chashmonoim, and it'll be good for you. Vayishkelu es sechari shloshim kesef, zeremes l'shloshim shana shemolchu malchei chesed. The 30 coins are the 30 years when Malchei Chesed ve'elu hei matisyohu hanikra chashmonai shana achas Yehuda b'noi sheishanim Yonas b'noi sheishanim v'shim b'noi sheishana harei elu shloshim v'achas shana v'mhoi b'chem chadoshim chasedim nasu shloshim shana. Since each year was not necessarily a complete year, so you minus the fractions, it turns out you have 30 years shemolchu malchei emuna. Okay, so those 30 coins represent that we had this before. We had this same exact idea in one of the other mafarshim. We learned this in the beginning. There was someone else that said exactly the same thing, that the 30 years refers to the 30 years of the era of the Chashmonoim. Next, v'zeu she'amar v'yomer Hashem elai hashlicheu el ha'yotzer eder ha'yikor asher yokarti me'aleihem kolomar eder hu v'yokor ze ha'sochor v'roi liyoysa be'karbonos uv'koifer Navshay Sakahol, Ukurom Yoitzer, Perish Yoitzer, Kmoshama, Vine Yoitzer, Goivai, Vzel Shama, Vashtaka, Sobez, Hashem, El Yoitzer, King, and Harishan, who. I don't know exactly what he means. He means over here is something similar to what we said before, is that the bring of the Karbonos. The bring of Karbonos is precious. It sounds something like he's saying that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be in the merit of observing Hashem's ways. You will continue to have the Beis Hamikdash. Voegdas makli asheni asachovlim zoakiras malchus bnei chashmonoi bnei achovlim shoyu bochem hurgunus v'aris stabilus bonav. Then when it says that the malchus, the chovlim, is going to be cut off, that refers to the chashmonoim came to an end, and now the leadership of Klal Yisrael was under the servants of the chashmonoim, which were corrupt. L'hafer ha'achva ben Yehuda klamar shocha yoimed l'hafer ha'achva k'moshe kasev v'tzvi v'edyo l'goyin samahu. That's already the next pasuk. We did not do that yet. All right, that concludes the Radak. Okay, the Radak. I think we got a nice appreciation of some of the ideas, some new ideas. We're thrown out a little bit of a chazar as well. Let's try to finish it very quickly. Let's do the Malbum. It's pretty short. The Malbum, Pasuk Yidal, so we can do tomorrow something new. Pasuk Yidal, Vogda, I'm going to cut down. Acharei ze nigda gam ha-makal ha-sheni al-yidei ha-tzadoikim, she-sram b'neim, v'ayidei kach nisbatal gam ha-sholim ha-pnimi, v'nigda ha-makal ha-sheni makal ha-chamringo, I mean from the Malbum, page 824. V'nigda ha-makal ha-sheni makal ha-chovim, shohoya inyone la-hanig o-sam ba-hanogosam ha-dosiyim v'hanimusiyis. Now came along the after the Chashmonoim, after they passed away, and then there were the Tzedoikim. The Tzedoikim caused enormous harm to Klal Yisrael in the laws, v'hanimusiyus, and in conduct. Ki kitois hatzedoikim v'apushim ochlu zeze. They fought with one another. V'amalachim hayu nitz nil tzachim mishtei kitois. And the kings of Klal Yisrael during this era, some of them were from the cat of the Tzedoikim, and some were from the cat of the Perushim. As we find in the Mishnayos, there was an ongoing battle between the Tzedoikim and the Perushim. And we know, remember on Yom HaKippurim, there was a big debate, a big fight between when should you ignite the Ketores. Should you ignite the Ketores when you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or should you ignite the Ketores when you're outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Prushim held that you should bring the coals and the Ketores first into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you should pour the Ketores on the coals only after you enter in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Tzedakim held you should do the other way around. You shall first put the Ketores on the coals outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim when the shovel already is on fire, when there's already smoke coming forth. And the Darshim Sukkim and the Tzedakim, of course, are wrong because they're not based on tradition. And we find that the Kohanim, the Talmidim, they would make the Kohen Gadol take a Shavua, that when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he will do it exactly the way he's supposed to do it, to first enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim and only then pour the Ketores upon the coals. Because no one is allowed to be present when the Kohen Gadol does this part of the Avodah. It says in the Pasuk, V'chol Adam lo yeh bo'el moed. No one is allowed to be present in the Kodesh HaKadoshim when the Kohen Gadol goes on Yom HaKippur into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they did not know what he would do, and they made him take a Shavua that he would do it in the correct way. So we see that there was always a suspicion that even the Kohen Gadol was a Tzedoki, a closet Tzedoki. And even the Melachim, the kings, were also possibly closet Tzedokim. There was always this very difficult, very delicate situation during time by Hasheni. And that's what it means over Zehufar Ha'achva Shebein Ha'ayuhudu Ben Yishol, Kino es ha-talmid ha-chacham b'shem Yehuda, v'yes ha-hamoyim b'shem Yisrael, shkein hoya ha-hevdol b'in shemos eilu b'vayis rishoyin, sh'bnei Yehuda ho-yu avdi ha-shem, v'negin b'nei Yisrael shem ha-eseret ha-shvot, v'vayis sheni hoya shalom b'neim, ein peretz b'emuna, v'in yoytetz b'ados, v'at hufar achva ha-zoyz v'nas le-peretz, al b'nei peretz. So he's saying an amazing thing, with the chum b'yis sheni, again it became a fight. The achva, the brother between Yehuda and Yisrael, saying over here an idea like this, is that according to the Malam, is that at a later point in time, in the time of the Bayesheni, there was peace between the Talmidei Chachamim and the Hamoinam. The Hamoinam appreciated the Talmidei Chachamim, and the Talmidei Chachamim did not look down upon the simple man that knew very little. And that's an incredible thing. And with the Churban Bayesheni, that brotherhood dissolved. The common man who's not involved, who's not a Talmud Chacham, is always suspicious of the Talmidei Chachamim, that they're doing things for their own best interest. And the Talmidei Chacham are always suspicious of the common man, that they're trying to undermine them. There is no brotherhood between the Talmidei Chachamim and the Balabatim. And that's very true today. A disparity between the group of Klal Yisrael who present themselves as the clergy, as the upper echelon in society of knowledgeable of Torah, versus people who really have no knowledge, unfortunately, of the Torah. I'll talk about the Chilonim in Eretz Yisrael. Is there peace between the Chilonim and the Charedim? No way. No way, Jose. According to the Malbim, he appears to be saying, if I'm not mistaken, is that Yehuda is a term that we can interchange today in the modern world with the word Charedim. And Yisrael is a term we can interchange with Israel, with the Chilonim. And it used to be, in the time of the Bayesheni, that there was peace. There were no riots. There was no Hafganot. There was peace. Okay, obviously the agenda of the Haredi world is very different than the agenda of the Chiloni world, but there was common ground, and it never got out of hand. But with the Churban Bayis Sheni, Hufar Ha'achva, the brotherhood between Yehuda and Yisrael was Hufar. Yehuda refers to the Haredi element of Klal Yisrael, and Yisrael refers to the secular element. They're Jews, they're living in the land, they're defending the land, they have an ahava for the land, they're traditional, they observe Yom HaKippurim, they have a sensitivity to Shabbos, They may not be 100% observant, but they definitely have a sensitivity to Shabbos to some degree. They have a sensitivity to religion. They're proud that they're Jewish, but they're unfortunately not yet very learned. And they know very little. And when they see people walking around with black hats and dark jackets and white shirts, and they don't want to serve in the army, and they want the country to support them, they get a little bit, there's a lot of friction, a lot of problems. That is a fulfillment of the curse of what Zechariah is speaking about. That during the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was achva, brotherhood between these two elements, Yehuda and Yisrael, the religious element and the irreligious element. He's not saying irreligious, he's calling it the Hamoin Am. I'm calling it irreligious. Today, with the Churban Bayis Sheni, you know the collateral damage is? There will no longer be achva. The religious element, who is Yehuda, they'll do their thing, and the irreligious element will do their thing, and they will not see eye to eye on anything, and the friction and the trouble is overwhelming, as we know it to be today. That's what he seems to be saying over here in this pasuk. All right, that concludes over here this pasuk, and there's no Mamar Chazal. So in Yiratz Hashem, tomorrow we will begin something new and fresh. So if you're overwhelmed by this, don't fear. Tomorrow we're going to start with pasuk Tezvav and go into a new section to wind down the parak and then go forward. Okay, we'll take a very short break. Afterwards, I want to have an interesting topic. I want to go through a chapter or two in headlines number 3 from Rabbi Lichtenstein, Rabbi David Lichtenstein Sefer, on the topic of protests. It's a timely topic. Turn on the radio, listen to the news. But racism and protests in the eyes of Chachmenu Zichronim Levracha. Is it a proper thing to go to a protest and smash windows and steal televisions?
Well, that's one kind of protest.
What do Chazal have to say about these things? He has a fantastic, fantastic chapter on both a religious Torah perspective on protests and a Torah perspective on racism. We'll be back in a few moments.
Good morning, everybody. A good Chodesh.
A good Chodesh.